remember to pray for the Flurries too. They were in Georgia for several weeks, and I believe they're back now, but pray for them and others that are out. If you have a Bible, turn to Psalm 41. Psalm 41. I love the Psalms. Have you ever had the flu or a cold and you just didn't enjoy it? You know, you didn't say, boy, I'm really glad I have this flu or this cold. But when you got better, wasn't that nice? You know, you appreciated your health a little more and you felt better. And it affects you mentally too, as well as emotionally. I love to go to the Psalms. David is so honest with his own heart and his own life. But that honesty, God required truth in the inward parts. And it always brought help and healing to David. And that's what we want to look at today. Our church has gone through a lot of heartache recently. We've had a couple funerals recently and just different trials and troubles. And the Psalms is a good place to settle in. Amen. It's my favorite book in the Bible. Let's go to Psalm 41 and read verse 4. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. He's very honest. Verse 11 of chapter 42. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance. David cried out for God to heal his soul. And that's what I want to speak on today. Let's ask God's blessing. Father, please guide and direct us today. As the word goes forth, may it find good ground. May it minister comfort and grace, help, healing. Lord, we just pray that you would be honored and glorified, and Lord, we're so grateful for that. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a great subject. Matthew Henry talked about, and we all come short of the glory of God. Thank God for his mercy, for his forgiveness, amen, his long-suffering. Even a little bit of patience in there, he's good to us. But Matthew Henry said about our text, sin is the sickness of the soul. Pardoning mercy heals it. Renewing grace heals it. And for this spiritual healing, we should be more earnest than for any bodily health, because it's a healing inside. In Job chapter 10 and verse 1, Job said, my soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. What a verse. And if you read the book of Job, you see one trial after another, after another, after another. And then he did not have any support from anybody. And it's quite a book. But at the end, there was a real blessing, actually a double blessing. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible talks about follow peace with all men, and lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So it not only affects us when our soul, when our spirit is not right, it affects other people around us. So it says follow peace. And then it says there, let it rather be healed. Heal my soul. And the writer in Hebrews said the same thing. Hosea chapter 14, God says, I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. What a blessing when you read these verses. Because God, we call him the great physician, and he's always interested in helping us, ministering to us. He knows the need of our heart. He knows when we cry out for him that nobody else could understand. Isaiah 38, verse 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. The Bible says he delighteth in mercy. God delights in mercy. He is happy to show mercy on anybody that desires it. Amen? And it's his great love that produces that. 2 Chronicles 16. The story there is about Asa. And he had a disease. And the Bible says in verse 12, yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord but to the physicians. Sometimes you just need to ask God for help, amen? And sometimes there's only things that God can do, and certainly with our spirit and our soul. In Job chapter 13, Job said to his friends, ye are all physicians of no value. I'm sure they were trying, but they didn't do a very good job. Amen? And you see as at the end of the book of Job what God said about his friends. But anyway, they couldn't meet his emotional need, and they couldn't meet his physical need, and they couldn't meet his spiritual need. And so it was a long book, the book of Job, for almost 40 chapters of arguing, probably 38 chapters. I'm right. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. No, I'm hurt for this reason. No, you're hurt for this reason. And what a great time, amen? Just a wonderful time of fellowship. I'm making a joke there. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, the Bible says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are, I can never remember that next word. Healed, yeah, that's it. With his stripes we are healed. Our sin sickness is gone, amen? The penalty's gone, the power's gone, one day the presence is going to be gone. But it says we can be healed of that. We have in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, this is Peter speaking about that verse, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Think of the thief on the cross and get a little spiritual imagination. There's things we're not told about this, but at one time he's cursing the Lord, and then whatever took place, he finally got it. Amen? The light bulb came on. His heart was open. His mind was believing now. And he said to the Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. But here he is on a cross. He's suffering. When he was first put up there, he didn't believe in the Lord. He didn't know where he was going to go when he died. And he probably thought he deserved it because that's what he said. He had done that all of his life. And here the Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's pretty good. Amen? It's everything taken care of. We read in the Bible about the publican in the temple, and two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a publican, the one a Pharisee. The Pharisee said, man, I'm thankful I am not like this guy. What a blessing. I'm not like him. I do this right. I do this right. I do this right. And, of course, the Lord wasn't impressed with that. But the publican would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See, David's honest about his sin. And so we'll see in some other text here what God does for anybody that's honest about that. And that's where the real healing comes. Amen? When we walk with the Lord, when we follow in his light, and when we honor him with our lives, it's just such a blessing to have that fellowship. The jailer in the prison with Paul and Silas, I mean, they were beaten pretty bad. This guy was a hardened man. He was in charge of the jail. Think of all that he saw come through that jail. We've always had jail ministries. We don't have one here, but we did in Sturgis. And you'd get in there with some of those guys, and it's amazing. Everybody in jail is innocent. I'm telling you, it's absolutely amazing. You talk to those guys, and they're there because somebody lied about them, or, you know, it wasn't them at all. But every once in a while, you'll get somebody that's really, really honest, and you can't even believe some of this stuff. But they're there, and God can save anybody. Amen? God can heal anybody. But here's this jailer, and after the earthquake, you're familiar with the story, Acts chapter 16. He came in, and he says, what must I do to be saved? And, well, I don't know if you're really sincere, or I don't know if God's able to save you. I mean, you've really been a dirtbag, you know. And I think you might as well just forget about this. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen? I mean, and the healing of God, it's so wonderful. And again, we're saved, but we're saved sinners. And all people come short. But the thing to do is just to maintain that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was at Bible college, I worked at an army tank factory. True story. It was a foundry and a factory. And they poured the metal into the molds and castings. And then I was a welding and a machining inspector. And I mean, it was quite a place to work, but there was a guy there, my wife will know this fella, his nickname was Hippo. His first name was Bob. I won't give you his last name. But he was a mean guy. He was just mean. And there was a bunch of college students. We worked there, and we were able to have a room, and at lunchtime we preached, and sometimes people came. Bob would never come. He'd curse people out. And one time I went over to him, and you could smell that he was drinking. On the job? Yeah. This was a rough place. And I invited him to church. And he said, okay. And I said, what? Oh, you have little faith, you know. And we picked him up. My wife and I picked him up. And they called him Hippo for a reason. He sat in the car, and the car went like this. I'm telling the truth, right? Right? And it was a Ford Super Duty. No, I'm kidding. It wasn't. But he went to church, and the invitation was given at the end of the service, and he went forward and got saved. And he quit drinking, and he started going to church. And this was a bad, bad guy. I had a third shift supervisor. He was supervisor over the whole plant. His name was Tom. I won't give you his last name either. He was on drugs all the time, but he was the third shift supervisor at this place. And we invited him down. It was a sparse crew that night. We invited him down to the preaching. And it was me and Tom. I preached to Tom. I mean, I've never done anything like that before. And you could imagine what was going through my mind. Boy, I wonder if he'll take this personally, you know. I mean, everything you say. And any illustration you would use, it's going right there. And I preached the message, and at the end of that sermon, he accepted Christ as his Savior. And it changed. I mean, third shift supervisor. How God just had that. There's another fellow that I worked with. He was a fellow inspector. Even the foremans were afraid of this guy. His name was Mike. And just mean. He'd tell jokes about the Lord. He'd cuss all the time, make fun of all the preachers there. And there was one day I was working over, and he was there, and we were sitting by a fire. They had these gas things. Anyway, it was cold in the winter. And we were sitting there, and we got to talking. And we talked about the Lord. And Mike started crying. Hard, hard guy, hard guy. He didn't accept Christ, but I'm hoping that he did. I never had contact with him again. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter who the person is or what they've done, the Lord wants to heal that. Amen? He wants to heal relationships. He wants to heal friendship. He wants to heal our own thinking. But he certainly wants to heal the grief that sometimes we experience. On a missions trip to Romania, we were ministering in, was it Baimara, Vatradorne? Where were we when we had the first institute? Vatradorne? Okay, good. I rely on my wife for those facts, and then Richard Bradley for the scriptures that I can't quote. But anyway, we had to travel all the way down to Bucharest. It was about an 8 to 12 hour drive, depending on the roads in Romania. This was in the early 90s. And there was a young lady that we had contact with in the village, and she was very, very ill, and they had nothing for doctors there. And so we took her to the capital, and we're American missionaries, and we went down there, and we had so much money comparatively. They thought a dollar was a lot of money at that time. And we went down, and there's a big line of people waiting to get in to see a real doctor, and we went to the front of the line, and we said, you know, we're Americans, can we buy some equipment for the hospital? You know, how much will it be? We'll send it to you. And, well, why are you down here? Well, we have this young lady, and she's very ill. Could we get her to see a doctor? Zip. Right to the front of the line. Wouldn't you like to get people to the front of the line to see the Lord? But that was an 8 to 12 hour trip. It involved treacherous roads at night, very treacherous roads at night. And all of that work just to get this one sick lady to this doctor. Amen? There's people that have a sickness that's a lot worse than physical. And they need the Lord. And we ought to give all that we can do to get those people to the Lord. because he's healed us. Amen? If you're saved today, boy, think of that. That's absolutely amazing. Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God has the remedy. John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We preach that and teach that because it gives hope. Healed means restored to a sound state. I mentioned David again because he had sinned, but he confessed his sin to the Lord. And the Bible says in Psalm 51:12, restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Restore, heal me, Lord. Restore that. But before that, it says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Then restore. So it always comes like that. It works like that. When we're honest with God and we want to be right with God and we tell him that and we confess whatever we need to confess, there's healing that comes from that. Isaiah 61, verse 1, this was Billy Sunday's verse. He had his sermons memorized as well as a lot of Bible memorized. He was a great evangelist. And he'd always open his Bible to Isaiah 61:1. And he'd just leave it there. And I mean, like me, I'm looking down at notes. But you ought to be glad I have notes. Amen? Because when I don't have notes, it could be 2 or 3 hours. You know, oh, let's go down this way and that way. But he had his Bible open to this, and this is what it says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus goes into the temple and he reads this verse. And then he says, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Here it is in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. There's that word again, to heal the brokenhearted, to restore something that is taken away. And it says, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Speaking of our salvation. Psalm 147:3, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Some preacher wrote this, when someone is grieving the loss of a loved one or deeply wounded emotionally for another reason, the concept of moving past this painful season can feel like a faraway dream. It's called the grieving process. And everybody goes through that just a little bit different. Some people it can take months. Some people it can take years. Some people are still going through grieving processes. But the Lord is always there. Amen. He's always there to help us. He's involved in that. Psalm 61:2. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Isaiah 38:14. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Whatever the problem is, it all comes back. Lead me to the rock. Undertake for me. Lord, help. And God always does, because it's impossible for God to lie. All that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Amen. Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. All of the verses in the Bible. To be overwhelmed with cares and afflictions, to be oppressed, to be overburdened, we need the Lord. Casting all your care upon him. In Jeremiah 8:22, God says this. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Balm, the healing ointment. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Think, every time we open the scriptures, every time we bow our heads and pray, every time we come together in the Lord's house, there's balm, there's healing, there's all of this at our disposal. Amen? The Bible talks about bread that you can eat that you'll never hunger, or water that you can drink and you'll never thirst. And it's always there for us. Come without money, without price. Buy milk, buy this, but you don't need any money. You just come. And it's always available for us. The question of the prophet is therefore a parable. Are there no means of healing, no healer to apply them for the spiritual wounds of Israel? The prophets were her physicians. Repentance and righteousness were her balm in Gilead. Then why so little result from the means which Jehovah has provided? Why so little result? Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Why is there no joy? Maybe we need to back up a little bit. The Bible says in Matthew 23, Jesus looking over the city, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. I would have done this. I would have healed you. I would have helped you. All you had to do was come to me. I'd be your refuge. And he said, but they wouldn't come. The Holy Spirit is called a comforter. Amen? But when we grieve or quench the Holy Spirit, we grieve or quench the comfort that God could give us in our soul. And come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you get sick, maybe this is how you do it. This is pretty much a no-brainer, but you get sick, so you start taking some vitamins that you never taken before. And you think, well, if I take one B vitamin, I'll be fine, you know? And it doesn't usually work like that. But if it gets worse, well, I just need to get some rest. Amen? And I've rested for 6 months, and I still have the same problem, so maybe that's not working. Then you make a doctor's appointment. Well, that makes sense. Okay, I'll go to the doctor. And that didn't do any good. So, well, I'm going to go to emergency room because the doctor's not open, and that didn't do any good. Well, I think I'll call an ambulance. And it just keeps progressing like that because you're so desperate. You really want help physically. We need to be desperate about our spiritual relationship with God. Desperate. Where we call on Him with our whole heart and our whole soul. I remember when I had a gallbladder attack. It was a lot of fun. We laughed, Linda and I, you know. I was laying on the living room floor and Linda was going, anyway, but she did get me in the car and we're headed to the hospital. And man, she drove, you remember that drive? She is going through red lights. She's just flying. I guess I shouldn't, this is on tape, but anyway, so we're getting there, and I'm really in bad shape. And so we're passing McDonald's, and she says, I'm going to stop here and get a milkshake. No, she didn't say that. How could you believe that about her? She's such a wonderful person. But, I mean, the goal was, here's suffering. Get to the place that can help the suffering to cease. Amen? Whether it's me driving the car, or it's me calling an ambulance, or it's somebody trying to get me there, there is a problem, there is hurt, there's heartache, there's all of these things, oppression, and we need to get to God. Amen? Because He's the only one that can do that for us. Heavy laden. I heard the other day somebody said it only takes one bullet to kill a person. It doesn't take 15. And here's what we've talked about. Heavy laden, overwhelmed, oppressed, brokenhearted, bitterness of soul, all of these things. And they affect us. And sometimes it only takes one of those to destroy our spirit, to cause us to err, fall, sin, go away from God. Because we're looking for any answer. Any answer. You have in Mark chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood, she had it 12 years. And listen to what it says. She suffered many things of many physicians. She spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. 12 years. Think of the disappointment. Finally, I got a doctor. Finally, there's an answer. Finally, there's a medicine. But she didn't get any better. She got worse every time she tried. And she finally came to the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. When nothing else worked, we're talking not about physical healing. I'm talking about spiritual healing, where God can give us joy, where He can restore something that was taken away. And we come to the Lord, and it's a blessing. They say the cure sometimes is worse than the disease. And it is if you're looking in the wrong place. We have in Mark chapter 5, the maniac of Gadara. I don't know how long he was in that condition. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years. I don't know the amount of time for this maniac. But he ran in the tombs. He scared the people. They bound him and he broke the chains and everything. But he was screaming. He was naked. He was just a horrible condition. And the Bible says in verse 4 of Mark chapter 5, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. This, it kind of puts the shoe on the other foot. It's the other side of the coin. Now, it has nothing to do with this woman seeking help. This man is not seeking help. He is not seeking help. And somebody's trying to help him and tame him, and nothing that they do works. Not one thing. They bound him and he breaks the chains until the Lord came. Amen? And sometimes all we can do for somebody is just pray that God would come. We need to have a heart for that, but prayer is very, very powerful. And when Jesus came and he met Jesus, he was in his right mind, clothed, amen, and he wanted to follow the Lord wherever he would go. I love those stories. I could read them over and over and over. Let me tell you about the maniac of Gadara again. We'll move on. But three of you were paying attention. Praise the Lord. That's a new record, amen? Okay, Richard, I'm kidding. So, are you kidding? Yes, I'm kidding. In John chapter 5, there was a man that was in Bethesda, the pool of Bethesda there, and they waited for the troubling of the water because if they could get into the water, they would be healed. He had been there 38 years. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? Karen, this is a sermon that Lanny preached. And he said, if only I hadn't missed the opportunity when the water was troubled, because somebody else would come down before him. And when Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, and while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. If only I hadn't missed the opportunity, if only I had a chance, if only someone cared enough, if only someone could help me, if only I was as strong as others. But Jesus healed him. Jesus answered his prayer. Amen. After 38 years. I got saved when I was 23. I think I was 23. Was I 23, 24, 22? I was about 7 years old when I got saved, as I remember it. But I got saved pretty young compared to a lot of people. Some children accept Christ as their Savior in their teens and even before their teens. What a blessing that is. Amen. Some people get saved after 50, after 60, after 70. It doesn't matter when you get saved, but think of all that somebody goes through that their whole life, putting off salvation or not understanding it or not having an opportunity, and then Jesus shows up. Well, boy, look at all the wasted years. I don't think so. I think you'll be so happy to get in. Amen? I just got in. What a blessing that is. John chapter 6, verse 68. Peter is talking to the Lord, and the Lord talked about being the bread from heaven. If any man eats of my flesh, he shall never hunger. He was talking about himself. He wasn't talking about cannibalism or anything like that. But it was a hard saying, and many of his disciples walked no more with him. And he said to Peter, will you go away also? And this is what Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Once you taste that, once you get comfort from the Scriptures, once God comes through this Bible, through this book, through this Word, and you experience that, that's where you go to get help. Amen? You go back to the place where you got help, unless something just clouds your mind or pulls you so far away. But where are we going to go? Amen? Our country. What about our country? I mean, I don't even want to get started there. But where would you go for help? We have to go to the Scriptures. Amen? We have to go to the Word of God because that's where the help is. Psalms 107, verse 20. God says, or it says about God, He sent His Word and healed them. He sent His Word and healed them. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which ye heard in us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. When you have the Word of God, it works. Amen. When you put faith in the Word of God, it works. They're coming out to get Jesus, to take Him away to be crucified. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Peter's not going to let them do it. He was a pretty rough guy. So he pulls out a sword and he cuts off the right ear of the high priest's servant, his ear. He cuts off his ear. And the Lord did something that is very interesting. He took the ear and He put it back on and healed it. Amen? And the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we don't want to live our lives as Christians. There's a host of illustrations where we may turn somebody off to the gospel. We want them to desire to hear. We want to be that living Bible that Paul talked about in one of his epistles, where people can read us. People can experience us, our right spirit, not our bitterness. Sometimes we need healing before we can heal anybody else. Amen? We need to have the right spirit so that others can see that and then follow in those steps and minister to other people. There is a balm in Gilead, what the song says, to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and deep I feel the pain. In prayers the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. God does it. God does it. We are honest with God. We ask God, but He does the work. You put no confidence in the flesh, amen? Put no confidence in man. It has to be God doing that work. We use the Scripture for edification, not for destruction. And we want to use it for healing. It's the comfort. In John chapter 4, when Jesus was there with the woman at the well, and He asked for a drink, and she said, well, you're a Jew, and the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Why are you asking me for a drink? And Jesus said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me a drink, you would have asked of Him, and He would have given you a drink of water. If you only knew, how are people going to know? Well, they just don't sit down with me in a Bible. They just don't do it. Well, maybe our spirit, maybe our care, maybe our concern, maybe our offer to help, maybe us being there will open a door for that. Amen? Where we might share the gospel to somebody else. I want to read a verse, a couple of verses in Isaiah 57, and then I'll get into the sermon. Okay, well, still only three awake here, but this is Isaiah 57, verse 18. I have seen His ways, and I will heal him. And I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord. And I will heal him. I will heal him. I'm going to have Mike play a song in just a minute. You can get that ready, Mike. God wants to heal. Amen? A broken heart, a broken relationship, just poison in the mind. Whatever it is, God wants to minister and to meet that need. Karen might remember this. This is a lady by the name of Susan McGill, and at our preacher's fellowships, she worked at a home for girls. And she wrote most of the songs that she sings, but I listened to this song recently, and I think the message of this song is such a blessing, and I trust that it will be a blessing to you. If you're hurting today, if if you've got heartaches, if you're broken, if you just all the things we talked about, just talk to God about it. He's the one that can meet that need. Amen. And if you know somebody who's broken, pray for them. Be a blessing to them. Amen.